We've got something a bit special for you right now. I'm really, really excited about this. The didgeridoo, it's a very, very important element of Aboriginal culture, so much so that it's probably the first thing that someone thinks of when they talk about Aboriginal culture. Today, we're going to have a look, a listen, a whole lot to the didge. I'm joined in studio by Gummeray. Gummeray, good morning, mate.
How are you?
Very good, mate.
That's good. Good
to
be here.
Got a couple of didges with us. You do with you as well. It's incredible.
Yeah, I have. One's actually a traditional one from Arnhem Land, and believe it or not, the other one's artificially made in Germany, in Bavaria. Yeah,
Germany. Yeah, of all places. Incredible. Well, what's the history of the didgeridoo? Is there any sort of? Do we know how far it goes back? You were saying earlier there's some Dreamtime stories about it as well.
Yeah, there's many different Dreamtime stories, and they all go back to Arnhem Land. That's the traditional homeland of the didgeridoo. But originally, it's called Yedaki.
Yedaki.
The only reason it's called didgeridoo because English-speaking people changed it from e-idri-u to didgeridoo because e-idri-u means, oh, look, there's a black guy. He's playing a trumpet. And that's Gaelic Scottish.
Is that right?
Yeah. But anyway, basically, some of the Dreamtime stories, there's one story where a young boy was out in the bush and he was looking for native honey. And the native honey bee can't actually sting you, but in the masses, by the hundreds and thousands, they'll crawl up your mouth and your nose, your ears, your eyes. So in his panic, he went and he tried to blow them out of the hollowed log and accidentally made the sound. And therefore, they discovered the sound of the yidaki or the didgeridoo. And then the other, one of the other stories I know is the first ancestral beings, the creator, gave them the instrument, the didgeridoo. Mm-hmm. And they, using the overtone, they blew the creation into sound. So the vibration of the didgeridoo created all the different landforms.
Wow. You mentioned that the stories behind it. Is it also an important tool now in telling other stories as well? Is it used to incorporate the sounds as well as the verbal stories? Is that right?
Yeah, well, it is now. Like when you're playing traditionally in the context of what they call today the corroboree, you've got the song man. So look at it like the structure of an orchestra. The song man is like the conductor. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the dancers, but the yidaki player, the didgeridoo player, is pretty much reinforcing what the song man's saying. Otherwise, he's making up rhythms in his traditional language to fit the movements of the dancers and the rhythm that he can hear with what they call bipra or bilma, the clapsticks.
All right, okay.
So it's all spoken word. But when little kids play it, then they imitate animals like kookaburras and kangaroos and
Oh, it's incredible. Some of the sounds earlier were amazing too, but we'll get to that. Now, you're talking earlier, you've got one there made in Germany.
Yep.
What are they made from usually? Is there a particular type of tree that they use for them?
Yep. Predominantly, they're made from eucalyptus trees. And as you know, there's hundreds of different types of eucalyptus in Australia, from the bloodwood eucalypt to the grey box, the yellow box, and even out western New South Wales, the mallee. And but I tend to stay away from trees like mallee because they're a bit soft and they'll split. And ironbark, they're really solid and really strong, but they tend to crack. Okay. Actually, they don't crack. They haven't got the resonance, the vibration.
Right. And do the different types of didgeridoos have different meanings, different purposes?
Yeah. But it all depends, like, in which key the singer's singing. Okay. Like, he might be singing high. And in some tribes, the higher the voice, the more important the song and so forth. So they all have different notes, different vibration. So I've got here today, the German ones are in the key of E. And the Arnhem Land one is in the key of F sharp.
Wow.
And personally, when I sing traditionally, I like singing up in the high key of F sharp, even high scale A.
Yeah, right. Amazing. Now, the artwork that's associated with on the didgeridoos as well, can you tell us a bit about that?
Yep, that's very easy because this one from Arnhem Land, it's plain.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you another time about why I left that one plain. But this one here, it's just a picture of desert ants because I said to the lady, his name's Eddie Hallett and his wife's name's Ava. He goes, yes, sir, Ava will decorate it. Would you like an Aboriginal painting? I said, no, out of respect. I don't want you to do Aboriginal painting. So you paint something that means something close to your heart. And she's been out here in the Aussie desert. So she painted the ants going underground.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So that's
incredible.
It there.
Yeah, and just to describe this to everyone at home, we've got some black sort of a black stripe going down it, and then the ants actually tunneling their way through.
Yeah, tunneling their way through the dirt.
The dirt. That's amazing.
But they're not the honey ants, those yummy ones where you bite the back sides off and they're delicious.
How many different sounds can a didgeridoo sort of produce, or a didgeridoo player?
Oh, well, it all depends, like how many animals you've heard, how many different languages to speak. See, when you're playing rhythms, it's always a spoken word. Like if I say dinner one and repeat that word, it becomes a rhythm. Dinner means leg. Mm-hmm. One means tall and skinny. So dinner one is the emu.
Emu, okay.
And because I'm a dad and the male emu is the best or my favourite animal that looks after the children, and out of all the Aussie animals, I like to incorporate that. But according to like vocalisations, if you imitate a crow or a kookaburra or whatever, I think I've got about maybe anywhere between 30 or 60 different animals, but I've lost count.
Yeah.
And while we're on that subject, a kangaroo is called, so a lot of it's based on onomatopoeia, so a kangaroo is bunda, because when he jumps, bunda, bunda, bunda.
Oh.
The crow is wak, 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 wak. Or the kookaburra is gugar gagar. So listen, watch, observe nature, and she will always teach you.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Now, what are some of the techniques involved in playing?
Okay, so want me to play some now?
Please, yeah. I'll just get this mic happening. There we are. Go for it.
So basically, when you... a subtle vibration, you'll get this. If you blow it too hard, what you do, just get yourself a one-way ticket, move to Switzerland and live there, because you're going to sound like the brothers playing the Alpenhorn. So soft. Now poke your tongue in and out like that. You'll get rhythms. Use your voice. And like I said, say basic words like didgeridoo. So that's that one, and then you change over to this one, and it's more for like traditional accompaniment to traditional dances and songs, even a different technique to play.
That is incredible.
Yeah,
that's amazing. And there's also the something you and I were talking about earlier, the circular breathing. That's something as well that just it blows my mind. I cannot get right. What were the tips you had for that?
No, we'll see. Your worst enemy when you're playing these wonderful instruments is your mind. Don't think too much. So tonight or tomorrow morning, whenever you choose next to clean your teeth, hold the water in your mouth and just squeeze it out. It's impossible to exhale and inhale. Physically, totally, absolutely impossible.
Can't do it.
So hold your breath. Squeeze your lips together, inhale through your nose, down to your belly, and then begin to exhale again. So squeeze your cheeks, breathe up, exhale out. Over and over.
I've got a didge at home. I'm going to go home and really have a go at that.
Yep.
I think.
And if you haven't got a didgeridoo at home, just pick up a vacuum cleaner, go to Bunnings and play a polypipe, because they're 100 times easier to play than a real yidaki, or if you want to call it a didgeridoo.
Yeah, wow. Well, will you play us something?
Yep.
Yeah, please do.
I'll play you a little thing called Time to Rise.
Awesome.
So it's all about many of the different animals that I've heard thus far in my journey of life, waking up in different parts of the world.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Here we are. Gamaroi, the didgeridoo. I'm going to go to the hospital. Absolutely incredible. I don't think there is another word to describe that. It's an amazing talent you've got, incredible sounds. Thank you so much for joining us in here today on the day.
Thank you, Adrian, and thank you, James.